just the other night. Bumped into my shadow, he was dancing to my right. I said, hey buddy, haven't seen you in a while. What you doing dancing in the light and dancing in such style?
Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Today we have a wonderful discourse for you by Osho, and music, instrumental and vocal music by different singers and songwriters from the world of Osho. For 1 hour, sit back and relax and just enjoy this program of music and meditation.
Thank you.
discourse today is from the series The Hidden Harmony, number 3. Osho is talking about the subject of self-knowledge. Knowing yourself has nothing to do with knowing the world and the ways of the world. In the world, you can only forget yourself. To know yourself, you have to go inside, but you have to face this world inside of you, so you can finally reach your real being. Osho says there are two kinds of people. One is in search for happiness. The other type is in search of truth. This has nothing to do with happiness. Only when you have enough courage to face the truth, happiness will follow.
Remember, 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 remember. to know oneself is the most difficult thing. It should not be so. It should be just the opposite, the most simple, but it is not, for many reasons. It has become so complicated, and so much you have invested in self-ignorance that it seems almost impossible to turn back, to return to the source, to encounter oneself. Your whole life as it is approved by the society, by the state, by the church, is based on self-ignorance. You live without knowing yourself, because the society doesn't want you to know yourself. It is dangerous for the society. A man who knows himself is bound to be rebellious. Knowledge is the greatest rebellion. Self-knowledge, I mean, not knowledge gathered through scriptures, not knowledge found in the universities, but knowledge that happens when you encounter your own being. When you come to yourself in your total nudity, naked, when you see yourself as God sees you, not as the society would like to see you, when you see your natural being in its total wild bloom, not a civilized phenomenon, conditioned, cultured, polished. Society is concerned to make a robot of you, not a revolutionary, because it is helpful. It is easy to dominate a robot. It is almost impossible to dominate a man of self-knowledge. He will not yield. He will not follow dictates. He will move through his own being. He will be like the wind, like the clouds. He will move like rivers. He will be wild, of course beautiful, natural, but dangerous to the false society. The society wants to dominate. The privileged classes want to dominate, to oppress, to exploit. They would like you to remain completely unaware of yourself. This is the first difficulty. And one has to be born in a society. The parents are part of the society. The teachers are part of the society. The priests are part of the society. The society is everywhere, all around you. It seems really impossible how to escape, how to find a door back to nature. You are enclosed from everywhere. Second difficulty comes from your own self, because you would also like to oppress, to dominate. You would also like to possess, to be powerful. A man of self-knowledge cannot be made a slave, and he cannot make a slave of anybody else also. You cannot oppress a man of knowledge, and a man of knowledge cannot oppress anybody. He cannot be dominated, and he will not dominate. Domination simply disappears from that dimension. You cannot possess him, and he will not possess anybody. He will be free, and he will help others to be free. This is even deeper difficulty than the first. You can avoid society. How to avoid your own ego? You are afraid. Because a man of knowledge simply doesn't think in terms of possession, domination, power. He is innocent like a child. He would like to live totally free, and he would like others also to live totally free. This man will be a freedom here in your world of slavery. Would you like not to be exploited? Yes, you will say you would like. Would you like not to be made a prisoner? Yes, you would like. But would you like the other thing also, not to make a prisoner of anybody else, not to dominate, not to oppress and exploit, not to kill the spirit, not to make a person into a thing? That is difficult. And remember, if you want to dominate, you will be dominated. If you want to exploit, you will be exploited. If you want somebody else to be a slave to you, you will be slaved. The both are two aspects of the same coin. This is the difficulty in self-knowledge. Otherwise, self-knowledge should be the most simple thing, the most easiest. There should not be any need to make any efforts. Efforts are needed for these two things. They are the barriers. Just watch and see these two barriers. And start by dropping your own. First, stop dominating, possessing, exploiting, and suddenly you will become capable of getting out of the trap of the society. The ego is the problem, that's why you cannot know yourself. And the ego gives you certain false images of yourself. And if you carry those images for a long time, you become afraid. The fear enters that if your image falls, then your identity is broken. You create a false face, and then you become afraid. If this false face falls, who will be you? You will go mad. You have invested too much in it. And everybody thinks about himself in such lofty terms, in such false terms. Nobody agrees with him. Nobody approves. But then your ego thinks everybody is wrong. The first problem arises if you want to know yourself, you have to drop your false images. You have to see yourself as you are. And that is not very beautiful. That's the trouble. That is not very beautiful. That's why you have created these beautiful images, to hide. If you see yourself in total nakedness, it is not going to be a very beautiful scene. Then you see anger, then you see jealousies, then you see hatred, and then you see millions of wrong things all around you. And you think yourself a great lover, and there is jealousy and possessiveness and hatred and anger and all sorts of negativities. You think yourself very, very beautiful a person. But when you enter yourself, ugliness is encountered, immediately you turn your back. That's why for thousands of years Buddhas have been always teaching, know thyself. But nobody listens to them. To know oneself seems to be such a difficult thing. Why? Because you have to encounter ugly phenomena. It is there. One has to pass through it. You have a beautiful being within you. But that beautiful being is not on the periphery. It is at the center. And to reach the center, you have to pass through the periphery. And you cannot escape. There is no way to escape. One has to pass through it. You have to pass through all ugliness, all negativity, hatred, jealousy, violence, aggression. And if you are ready and mature enough to pass through the periphery, only then you will reach to the center. Then the scene changes. At the center you are God. At the periphery you are the world. And the world is ugly. At the periphery you are nothing but a miniature society. And the society is ugly. At the periphery you are a Napoleon, a Hitler, a Genghis Khan, a Temurlang, and all the politicians and all the mad people of the world. At the periphery, you are a miniature of all that. You are the whole history of aggression, violence, oppression, slavery. At the periphery, remember, you are the history that belongs to this world. Everything is involved. Has to be so. Because mind is not your own. It is a social product. Mind carries all the germs of the past, all the diseases of the past, all the ugliness of the past. Because mind belongs to the collective. There are certain moments when you can see and watch your own Genghis Khan, your own Hitler. There are certain moments when can you watch that you would like to murder and kill and destroy the whole world. On the periphery, you have to be very courageous to pass through it, to be a witness. And if you can enter this periphery, this society, the history, then at the center you are God Himself. Then there is infinite beauty. But that infinite beauty is untouched by the society. It is not the periphery. Then you are innocent like a newborn baby, fresh as the dewdrop in the morning, uncontaminated. But to reach that, you have to pass through all ugliness. The whole history of man has to be crossed. You cannot simply avoid it. That's what you have been doing. That's why self-knowledge has become difficult. You want to avoid it. The only way to avoid it is close your eyes. Don't see. Create a private dream against it. Look at yourself as you would like yourself to be. All ideas, utopias, beautiful images. Make a small niche near the periphery, beautiful, decorated. And don't look at the periphery, just keep your back. You become afraid to come out of your decorated part, because just near it, the volcano is. It will erupt any moment. So people talk about self-knowledge. They discuss about it. They write about it. They create systems about it, but they never try. Even those who talk continuously about knowing the self, just talk about it, argue about it, discuss about it, but never try it in actual fact. And self-knowledge is an existential experience. It is not theory. Theories won't help. Theories will also be just part of your decoration. They will not break the ice. They will not break the periphery. They will not lead you to the center. You listen to people. If they say that you are God, you feel very happy. If they say you are eternal souls, you feel very, very happy. But these theories also you will paint, decorate. They will also be the same trick, escapes. They will not help. In India you go, everybody knows that everybody is part of God. Everybody is Brahma. And look at the life and the ugliness of it. The people who talk about God, look at their life, and you will not find even a particle. Not even an atomic part of what they are saying. They are saying not to convince you. They are saying to convince themselves. But they remain on the periphery, and they are also afraid to move. The fear is there. This fear has to be dropped. Remember, before you attain to the ultimate bliss, you will have to pass through long suffering. Before you attain to the infinite, the eternal, you will have to pass through the temporal, the whole history of man. It is inbuilt. It is in every cell of your body, every cell of your mind and brain. You cannot avoid it. The whole past is there with you. It is in you. It has to be passed through. It is a nightmare. It is a very, very long nightmare, millions of years. But one has to pass through it. That is the difficulty. Self-knowledge is difficult because you are not ready to pass any suffering. You think self-knowledge in terms of tranquilizers. You think self-knowledge is a tranquilizer. People come to me and they say, give us peace, silence. And if somebody promises you to give silence and peace without suffering, he is befooling you. And you will be caught in the trap very easily, because that's what you would like to have. That is the appeal of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi type people in the West. They are not giving you meditation, in fact, they are giving you tranquilizers. Because the meditation is bound to pass through suffering. It is not a play. You have to move through fire. And only in that fire your ego will drop. Looking at the whole ugliness of it, it drops automatically. Transcendence is possible, but not through such easy tricks. Transcendence is possible only through the cross. Transcendence is possible only through suffering. And if you are ready, you can suffer in a single moment the whole past. But it is going to be an intense nightmare. That's why a master is needed, because you can go completely mad. It is moving in a dangerous terrain. Self-knowledge is the greatest thing, and self-knowledge is the greatest danger also. You can miss a step and you will go mad. Moving into oneself is dangerous. A master is needed to watch every step. Only few try it. If you are ready to try it, you have to be aware what it means. Just a desire to be happy won't help. A desire to know the truth, not a desire to be happy. Because a man who wants to be happy will be in search of tranquilizers, narcotics. Meditation also will be a narcotic to him. He wants to sleep well. He wants not to bother about what is happening. He would like to have a private world of his own dreams. Of course, beautiful dreams, not nightmares. That's all he wants. But a man who is in search of truth does not think in terms of happiness. His is happiness or unhappiness. That is not the point. I must know the truth. Even if it is painful, even if it leads to hell, I am ready to pass. Wheresoever it leads, I am ready to reach to it. There are only two types of persons. One in search of happiness. He is the worldly type. He may go into a monastery, but the type doesn't change. There also he is asking for happiness, pleasures, gratification. Now, in a different way, through meditation, prayer, God, he is trying to become happy, more and more happy. Then there is another type of person, and only two types exist, who is in search of truth. And this is the paradox, that one who seeks happiness will never find it. Because happiness is not possible unless you attain to the truth. Happiness is just a shadow of truth. It is nothing in itself. It is just a harmony. When you feel one with the truth, everything fits together, falls together. You feel a rhythm. That rhythm is happiness. You cannot seek it directly. Truth has to be sought. Happiness is found when truth is found. But happiness is not the goal. And if you seek happiness directly, you will be more and more unhappy. And at the most, your happiness will be just an intoxicant so that you can forget unhappiness. That's all that is going to happen. Happiness is just like a drug. It is LSD. It is marijuana. It is mescaline. Why the West has come to the drugs? It is a very, very rational process. It has to come to it. Because searching for happiness, one has to reach to LSD. Sooner or later. The same has happened in India before. In the Vedas, they reach to Soma. LSD. Because they were seeking happiness. They were not really seekers of truth. They were seeking more and more gratification. They came to Soma. Soma is the ultimate drug. And Aldous Huxley has named the ultimate drug when it is to be found somewhere in the 21st century. He has called it Soma again. Whenever a society, a man, a civilization seeks happiness, it has to come somewhere to drugs, because happiness is a search for drugs. The search for happiness is a search to forget oneself. That's what a drug helps to do. You forget yourself, then there is no misery. You are not there, how can there be misery? You are fast asleep. Search for truth is just the opposite dimension. Not gratification, not pleasure, not happiness. But what is the nature of existence? What is true? A man who seeks happiness will never find, at the most, forgetfulness. A man who seeks truth will find, because to seek truth he will have to become true himself. To seek truth in existence, first he will have to seek the true in his own being. He will become more and more self-remembering. These are the two paths, self-forgetfulness, the way of the world, and self-remembrance, the way of God. And the paradox is, one who seeks happiness never finds it, and one who seeks truth, doesn't bother about happiness, has always found it. Self-knowledge must be the only search. Self-knowledge must be the only goal. Because without knowing yourself, if you know everything else, it is meaningless. You may come to know everything except you. But what does it mean? It cannot carry any significance. Because the knower himself is ignorant. What is knowledge can mean? What is knowledge can give? When you yourself remain in darkness, you may gather millions of lights around you, but they will not make you filled with light. You will remain in darkness in spite of them. You will live in darkness, you will move in darkness. That type of knowledge is science. You know millions and one things, but you don't know yourself. Science is knowledge except self-knowledge, minus self-knowledge. The seeker himself remains in darkness. It is of not much use. Religion is basically self-knowledge. You should be lighted within. The darkness should disappear from within. Then wherever you move, your inner light falls on the path. Wherever you go, whatsoever you do, everything is illuminated by your inner light. And this movement with the light gives you a rhythm, a harmony, which is happiness. Then you don't stumble upon. Then you don't clash. Then there is no conflict. Then you move easily. Then your steps have a dance to them. Then everything is a fulfillment. Then you don't ask for something extraordinary to happen. Then you will be happy. You are simply happy in your ordinariness. And unless you are happy in your ordinariness, you will never be happy. You are happy just to breathe. You are happy just to be. You are happy just to eat, just to go to sleep again. You are happy. Now, happiness is not derived from anything. It is you. A man who knows himself is happy not because of any reasons. His happiness is uncaused. It is not a thing that happens to him. It is his whole way of being.
This was Osho Radio for today. In this program, we played music by Gian Marcos, an instrumental piece of music from the world of Osho from the album Yes to the River, and the song by Mila Repa called Samasati. After the discourse, you heard Kitaro, and we're going to finish with an Osho song called Just One Ordinary Man. Goodbye, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the program and join us again. Bye-bye and namaste.